thing, but she had already started, and I couldn't hear the sound outside in the stadium. So that's why I was off. Right. Like, the video that was taken from inside the press box.
Yeah, there you are.
There you are. Yeah. You are horrendous.
I was terrible. I totally agree with that.
That's not my fault.
Yes, it is. Eddie just played. It's not my fault. Yes, it is.
No, I totally. It was terrible.
Would you like to try again right now?
Not particularly. No.
How do you find these jobs? Is there like a Reddit page, like a dark web of like?
Well, the arena football opportunity. I was called by an executive with the league a couple of weeks ago. They would like you to help out. We're bringing the game to American Dream Mall. Could you help out, you know, help us get some interviews, especially with Boomer and Gio? And I said, sure, that shouldn't be a problem.
Okay.
Jeff Fisher, they'll talk to him. The softball, when I saw on News 12 that they were going to have this team, I just reached out to the owner. I found the owner on LinkedIn,
social media. I love it, man. That's good.
Now, you only do their home games?
Their home games.
Okay. Now, when you do the home games.
You don't travel a public address.
Like what? Just public address, not play-by-play. I thought you were doing play-by-play. No,
they do have a deal with Varsity Media on Long Island, so they have somebody else that does play-by-play.
And where can you hear those games?
VarsityMedia.com.
Okay, all right. Brad, you're looking at me.
You both have not paid attention to something here this morning.
All right, Peter, get out of here. We love you. It's good seeing you.
Good to see you, too.
And we will talk to you soon. We got Jeff Fisher coming up next, thanks to you. So it's Boomer and Gio on the Fan CBS Sports Network.
The Kia.
WFAN, WFAN-FM, WFAN-FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
I'm Boomer and Gio coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We're just talking about an Arena Bowl happening at American Dream. It's tomorrow, 5:30. The Albany Firebirds and the Billings Outlaws. And the commissioner of the Arena Football League is none other than Jeff Fisher, longtime NFL head coach, and he is in studio with us this morning. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, and thanks for dedicating that whole last segment to this little bowl game we got going on Friday night. I appreciate it.
We actually got the helmets in here now.
Yeah,
we got the Firebirds here and the Billings Outlaws right there.
This is like a practice helmet from 1997, I was told.
they look like these are game-worn.
They stay on. They don't come out, and they protect them on the dasher boards when, you know, the guys, or when the guys go into the stands. So, yeah, it's a cool thing. I mean, these are top two seeds, and who would have thought, you know, I mean, it's been quite a journey, I'll be honest with you.
Definitely quite a journey. I was going to ask you, is it harder to coach an NFL football team or try to get a fledgling league off the ground and get interest in that league?
I relocated two franchises in my career, you know, the Houston Titan, and then I moved the Rams. So.
Yeah, you were with you guys played in Memphis when I was still playing.
Correct.
Yes. Right. I remember we came down there and played at the Liberty Bowl, right?
The Liberty Bowl, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we came back up, played at Vanderbilt in 98, and then we opened the stadium in 99. Yeah. So were you backing up Jeff in 99?
No, I was gone. 97 was my last year after Corey Dillon tore through you guys for like 250 yards on a Thursday night game.
We weren't going to talk about that. Greg Williams, are you listening?
Yeah. So he told me he took a picture of Corey Dillon after that game and put it in.
What did I did. Oh, I took his picture out of the program, and I taped it on a little paperweight, and I dropped it in Greg Williams' aquarium in his office. And it just sat there. And he could look at Corey for years.
Oh, man. Greg Williams is a piece of work. We had him here at the Jets there for.
Oh, my God.
With him and Adam Gase. That was wild.
Well, going zero on fourth on the last play of the game.
Yeah, against the Raiders. Right.
Yeah, on the play before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man, he was shiving everybody in the back over here.
You didn't want to know why Sam Darnold said he was seeing ghosts. He was seeing ghosts at practice.
I'm sure.
We were talking before you came in about those Titans teams and the identity that you guys had, and I remember it was like late 90s. I was in high school. We played a brand of high school football where all we did was run the ball, and then I would watch you guys and how tough you were, Eddie George and Steve McNair. I mean, the personality of those teams, do you think, is there anybody in today's NFL that could be like those late 90s, early 2000s Titans teams?
Well, the game's changed. You know, obviously the quarterback position changed. Everything's changed about the game. I would think so. I mean, I think the closest you came to it was actually what Mike tried to do over the last couple of years there in Tennessee with the big back. You see some of that. And, you know, the teams that, you know, traditionally are in it and making those runs at the end, even in today's world, are built that way. You got to be able to run the
football. Kansas City and San Francisco are able to run the ball when they need to.
They can run the football.
They can run the football. Big offensive linemen, great running backs, great running schemes.
Protect your quarterbacks.
Yeah, really great. I mean, so how many people do we expect tomorrow night at 5:30 at the American Dream in Jersey? Now, listen, you're in Tennessee. I know you've been around. You know what traffic is around here? You know, like
it's
on a Friday.
It's a mall. There's people. There's walk-up people. There's all kinds of
all kinds of
good stuff going on.
Yes. Hey,
this is a big thing with respect to what we had going is that I got involved. I was approached well over a year ago by an potential ownership group in Nashville. They were going to bring the Nashville Cats back. They had a great run in Nashville. While I was busy, when we were doing all our stuff, you know, I didn't know what was going on, but they were filling out Bridgestone Arena there where the Preds play to the tune of, you know, 7,000-8,000 fans per game for years. And, you know, shoot, our owner actually bought them, and then Tim McGraw bought them, and then, you know, it kind of settled out. But I didn't really pay close attention to the game itself, you know, because we're just so busy. And then so I started meeting with this group, and one thing led to another. I decided, well, you know what, I'm going to help. I mean, Nashville has become my home. My kids are there. I've got grandkids there. I can't ever give Nashville back enough for what it did for me and my family and how blessed we were. And so I wanted to bring something back and bring the Cats back, and so we did, but only to find out that the previous administration wasn't above board, and we started to have problems. So
now, those are the executives of the league that you're talking about.
Previously, they're out.
Yes, they're all out.
They formed this league, and we all... You know, we all drank the Kool-Aid, and so it wasn't there, you know. And so anyway, we got, you know, we just started battling. There were 16 teams to start the season. We ended up finishing with 8. But it's been to your earlier question, it's really been a rewarding experience for me to get to know these owners and watch them work hand in hand together to try to figure out a way to preserve not only the season, but their fan base. You guys were talking about Salina earlier. That's the only game in town. And this is the game where, you know, the dad's got his 4-year-old on his shoulders and he's walking into the game, and this family's looking forward to this game, and these teams and this game was nearly robbed from them. And so, you know, when they asked me if I would help, I said, sure, that's been my kind of been what I've been into. You know, we talked, I was helping Eddie George for a couple of years and still doing a little bit with Eddie, but, and just helping different programs. And, you know, I tried to help, you know, Charlie and Bill and the Alliance just kind of behind the scenes. And then I helped with the USFL just because of the experience that I have. And so I'm just trying to give back, give it all back to Nashville. And then in the meantime, see, you know, we can put a team together, and we did, but, no one would have anticipated the difficulties that we experienced. And for me, here we are a couple of days away from, or you know, tomorrow, you know, 24 hours or 48 hours away from this game, and that it signifies more than just a championship. It signifies this group of owners that got together that believe that there's a future in this game, because this game is really cool. I knew nothing about this game when I got into it. And I've had friends that came to their first arena football game and sat there behind the boards in person and said, oh my gosh, this is the most fun I ever had at a football game. I mean, 5 or 6 weeks ago, we had, well, it was Albany. Albany was in the championship game. They're trailing by 11 points with 11 seconds left, and they won the game.
Yeah, that's fun.
Talking to
Jeff Fisher, former NFL head coach and the commissioner of the Arena Football League. By the way, you know what also is happening in that area tomorrow night?
Yes.
Are you into country music? Luke Combs concert.
Luke Combs. Really? Yes. Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
I mean, well, there'll be a lot of people over there, that's for sure. Hey,
gridlock alert? Anybody?
Yeah, but so the concert probably doesn't go off until, what, about 8, 8.30?
Well, I'm sure it's got opening acts and all that stuff.
Exactly.
But yeah.
So this game is at 5:30 tomorrow at the American Dream.
Yeah, go over and watch the game and then go to Luke Combs afterwards.
Who knows? There may be a lot of people in the mall that day.
Yeah. Of course, it's a Friday.
Have you been over there?
I've not. No, I'm going to do the tour. I got in late last night. I'm going to do the tour today. Looking forward to seeing it.
I mean, it is a pretty unique building. I will say that.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to figure out where they're putting this field. Do you know where? I have no idea.
A good place to start would be on the ground.
Yeah, it would be on the ground somewhere. Yeah. Hopefully it's not on the ski slope.
The hockey rink? Is that what you're saying?
On the hockey rink.
Yeah. On the hockey rink.
Okay. So the field, you know, it's 50. You're talking about 50 yards.
Smaller field, yeah,
it's a smaller field. And, you know, they've already got laid down and boards are in and everything. So, you know, the big issue for us, I mean, from a production standpoint is, you know, could it handle the nets and the goalposts? You know, when that ball comes off that net live on a kickoff, it is something to watch.
Oh, there's a lot of dough that you guys are putting in, but you're investing a lot into this. There's no question about it.
Yeah, so that's the field there.
Wow, looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it does.
Does look pretty cool.
Yeah, it's smaller field like that, a ton of action. Yeah, I'm afraid to go through other pictures in Peter's phone.
Enough?
God knows what's in there.
Yeah, it'll be high.
So, Peter, it's high enough to be able to withstand the kicking and all that?
It's just the kickoff. I mean, and then, you know, the deuce, but there's no punting in the game.
Right.
You know? So, you're not going to have a Dallas Cowboy deal, you know, where you're hitting.
Actually, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool. You're going to watch it. I know. You're going to.
It's on CBS Sports Network, which we're on right now.
Jeff, we're on CBS Sports Network now. I will just say this. I will be playing golf.
That's okay.
Somewhere.
Yeah, you should.
Yes, exactly.
Are you hitting it?
Pretty good. But, I mean, you know, finally we get some beautiful weather. It's going to it's gonna be a little bit relief tomorrow, right? It's going to kind of cool off a little bit more tomorrow. So,
maybe.
Yes.
I talked to Neil O'Donnell yesterday. Yes. He's been playing an awful lot of golf.
Yes, how is he doing,
He's doing well.
Yeah, okay, I haven't seen him. Well. Please tell him to call me.
Yeah,
will you?
We'll do so.
Stuff to be like, he's like missing in action, Neil O'Donnell.
Well, yeah, really?
Yes.
He's playing pretty good, he said.
Yes.
And if he says he's playing good, then he's playing pretty good.
So, you know, he was Steve McNair's backup.
Right, of course. Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. How about that? You were part of that Music City Miracle, right?
Oh, yeah. We had it was 3 years ago. Buffalo came to Tennessee on a Monday night, and it was the first time they'd come back on a Monday night, so we did some features on it and the story behind it and everything with our special teams coach. And, yeah, it was pretty cool to go back through it again. So, yeah, it was one of those deals, huh?
Who did you hate playing more, Bill Cowher or with Brian Billick?
Bill and I were good.
Bill Cowher.
Bill and I were good. I'd say after things kind of – well, it was after we came back in 2000 and lost and shouldn't have. We were 13-3 at home field, and Trent. I don't think Trent got a first down in the second half, and we blocked two punts, went sideways out of bounds, and Eddie drops the ball off his shoulder, and Ray runs it back for a touchdown, and we got a better team in 2000 than we did in 99. But Bill broke my ankle when I was playing for the Bears. And Philadelphia. So it was always a challenge for me, and I enjoyed playing Bill because Saturday night before the game, I would remind our guys, if you're a little bit out of control and you're going fast on their sideline, you happen to see the head coach, it's okay to fall into his legs.
And by the way, you know, I was just thinking, you know, to get the New York Dragons back on Long Island, get them back in the league, how about you buy them? Buy
other
teams. Yeah.
I'm too old.
You know, what's been interesting is that since I was elected to take over and just get through the season, and you know, we start looking into next year, I've had so many franchises from across country call with interest in getting in.
Really?
Yeah.
Are there enough players actually?
What's the feeder system right now? I mean, we had the XFL and the USFL, and at one time, you know, before they merged, there was 28 teams. You got eight teams. They've merged to eight teams.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other opportunity right now for these players. We had three guys signed off our roster to NFL camps. I say we, the Cats did, in weeks 1, 2, and 3. So this is an opportunity for these guys. And there's a lot of guys that, I mean, we know, you all know the names that came through Arena. And the other interesting thing you think about is that from a fishing standpoint, this is really attractive from the NFL actually put their arm around the AFL, the Arena Football League, the first time around, the officiating department, because it trains their eyes, and the guys just, it's extremely valuable for them. I think there's over half of the current referees, the white hats, the referee, the crew chief in the league, in the NFL right now, have had experience in indoor football. And so this can be kind of a breeding, a startup system, you know, with respect to officials, but also for players. So there's just no alternate league right now.
Yeah, Jeff Fisher joins us, commissioner of the Arena Football League. You know, what's the average salary for a player in the Arena Football League now?
I would say somewhere between $999 and maybe $1,001
per game. Per game, yeah.
$1,000 a game.
So these kids are playing it because they love to play it, and absolutely, they're looking for another opportunity maybe to see if they can get an invite.
Interesting is that, and I'll point out the Albany franchise and the name, I can't
Firebirds.
Remember the name. Yeah, I know the Firebirds, but you've got a second generational players. Their dads were marquee players in the Albany team, and now you've got sons that are in their 20s, mid-20s, and wow, that are playing in the league. So it's a passion. It's a different world. It really is. I mean, these kids, they love playing, and you know, with the hope that maybe somebody, you know, some scout, you know, will give them an opportunity. But I'd say a majority of them are just doing it because they love to compete. And, you know, it's a great time of the year to be doing it. It's indoors. It's, you know, I mean, yeah, you got to deal with some potential injuries, but, you know, I thought the injury factor would be significantly higher when I got into it than it actually is. I mean, so there's a respect factor too, you know, on that
field. Imagine so. Final question for me is basically how many more teams you think will be a part of the league after this? Like,
I'm not going to take the time to go into the other leagues that are existing right now out there. There's leagues going on right now, but you know, we expect to be the marquee. We expect to be the model league after we get through this game and you know, refocus and gather and surround the wagons and get it all together for 2025. But I'd say we're probably going to come back next year somewhere in that range, potentially 16, 18, maybe 24 teams.
Have you been watching Hard Knocks off season with the Giants at all?
I have not. No.
Okay, I was going to ask you. Your
I had my own experience.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. What do you?
I loved it. I mean, yeah. I turned it down forever.
Yeah,
and, you know, I turned it down until the league said you can't turn it down. Then I turned it down again. So, but then I agreed to allowing them to come out and capture our move, the St. Louis Rams to L.A. because they had never. Nobody had captured a relocation before, so I had agreed to that. So, and I had a blast with them. I mean, the people in the industry, every last sound, cameraman, producer, these people are great people, and they're passionate people, and I really enjoyed it. But I haven't followed it. What's going on?
Oh, it's interesting. I mean, they're showing stuff I didn't think they'd ever show.
It's all front office stuff now. So it's the off season. So it's Joe Shane's the GM, Brian Daboll, of course, the coach. They're talking about free agency, whether or not they're going to keep Saquon Barkley. Saquon ends up taking a deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. Then they're making the trade for Brian Burns from the Carolina Panthers. They're signing Illuminor and Ryan as Runyon as offensive lineman. And you just see like the inner workings.
Combine stuff, the guys talking.
We're going to get to the draft eventually where they take Malik Nabers, but there's also the potential that they're trying to trade up, maybe get a quarterback, and they have Daniel Jones as their quarterback, and he's coming back on a $41 million deal. I mean, there's a lot of human interest stuff going on here.
Oh, it's good. I mean, there's nothing better than getting behind the scenes, and that was the approach with them. I mean, Howard saw that for years and years and years. He wanted to get that out. He wanted to share. He wanted to get engaged with the fans. It's cool. I mean,
should do something like that with the AFL. You should put a reality show out there. We
talked about it when the Nashville Cats were a startup team this year. Everybody else existed, but when the Nashville Cats start, which is how I got into this thing, we didn't have a shoelace or a helmet or a face mask.
Yeah.
So we hit the ground running, then hit the roadblocks that everybody else had. So it was more difficult on us. And had we done that, and I'm not saying we wouldn't do it this year, but there's a lot of interesting stuff that goes on behind the scenes. You guys know that.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Jeff, it was great talking to you. Good luck tomorrow. I hope it's a tremendous success and that the lead grows and it'll be on our network here, CBS Sports Network, 5:30 tomorrow night, the Arena Bowl with Albany and Billings. Jeff, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, good to see you again,
you
Jeff.
Too,
it's Boomer and Gio. A lot of marks on my back. Jesus.
Boomer and Gio.
Don't complain. You're still hitting the golf ball well.
Yes, I am. I am.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Gio.
Anybody who's got a dark beard, dark hair, and a fat face, people go, it looks exactly like you. But it's like, no. You don't think this does not? I like, our facial features are completely different. They are. But he's got dark hair, he's got a beard, and I mean, we don't look anything
alike. A lot of people tell me you and he look alike.
Well, because it's dark hair, dark beard
and a fat face.
Right. But it's but as far as like the actual facial features, like no.
I don't think you have a fat face.
Well, I did and people remember that.
Well, that was back when you were Fat Gio. You're not Fat Gio anymore.
And after yesterday I have come in puffy. That was a long I'm going to fast all day today after the amount of food and drink that I had yesterday. I'm literally not going to eat the entire day. And see how it goes. Come in here tomorrow morning, and then it'll be the first time we'll get breakfast with you. I'm serious. I don't need to eat after yesterday. I had 3 days worth of food yesterday.
Yeah. That's incredible. What happens when you go to those things.
Yeah, for sure. Jeff Fisher looked good, by the way.
He did.
In shape.
Looks like it, yep. Very kind of monotone.
We knew that, though. I mean, all those years and him on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, but when I watch him on the field screaming at us.
Yeah, well, he's different now. He's relaxed. Yeah. He's with the Nashville Cats.
Yeah.
You know? Think about that. Arena Football Championship. An American Dream with the Luke Combs concert going on at MetLife Stadium.
That's a rough one. Peter needs the helmets for the Maggie and Perloff interview. So excuse him.
Jesus, Peter.
Yeah, I got to get those helmets back.
Come on, man.
Yeah, oh, they okay. Do. Okay. All right. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Sweat all on his back.
And now he owes us, by the way. That's the way you got to look at this, guys.
What
you know,
can
he's
Peter
always trying
give
to.
Us?
Well, he can well, come to BNG Live
next
4.
Geo Live. What can we dump on him there?
Yeah.
Ketchup?
Oh, that's true. Without giving him something.
Without compensation.
Yeah, we don't have to give him anything else now.
We just gave him a 40 minute
made
commercial.
Him like a big shot.
Right. Today was the compensation.
Yeah,
100%.
Right, the Arena Football Slurp Fest is what you're talking about. That was the conversation.
Yeah, that's got to be hard, man. Trying to get that thing back off the ground. At one point in time, it was a legitimate, you know, source of entertainment for a lot of people.
I went to an Orlando Predators game 30 years ago. The place was packed.
Really,
it was pretty cool actually because they don't have football in Orlando, and it was their one thing. They had the Magic and they had the Predators. And the one section was kicked out at halftime because it was a strip club promotion, and the girls went topless in the second quarter.
That's a great game to be at.
I do remember that.
Well, think about it for a second. The Billings team, I mean, what else does Billings have other than movie theaters and rodeos?
And meth.
Okay, well, there's plenty of meth around here, too.
I know.
Maybe that would be the secret to the league.
Meth?
Only no.
Play them on give all the players meth.
No,
that'd be fun.
Only playing in cities like that are longing for something of their own.
Yeah. What do you think, like Eddie? Albany. What else is in Billings, Montana? You know,
I've been to Missoula and I've been to Glacier National Park. I've not been to Billings, but I will be in Bozeman this January.
Bozeman, Montana,
yeah.
In January.
Yeah, we're going out to Yellowstone.
Big yarn convention?
No. This is a little trip. So just so you know, I won't be here for a week in early January.
For the NFL postseason?
Yeah.
Wild card weekend?
It actually might be the last regular season.
All good. I mean, Aaron Rodgers went to Egypt and skipped mandatory minicamp. You can miss it.
Well, I know you were
here.
Upset last time. I didn't tell you.
Didn't, yes.
Right?
And that was not so much... Like, I wasn't upset you were on vacation. Obviously, we all take vacation, and you deserve it more than anybody around here. But it was just that you didn't tell us. I felt like our friendship had crumbled.
Well, Al knew. I assumed he had incorrectly assumed that he had shared it.
No. I mean, you see us every day, though. You know, it's like, hey, I'm not going to be here. I'm doing this. I'm going to counter sport in PA.
I'm going to go to Yellowstone and going to wind up in Bozeman.
Nice.
In January.
All right.
Nice trip.
And so
it's going to be nice and cold.
Yes.
It's going to be nice and cold.
Yo, I would think so. All right, Jerry, what's happening over there?
This report brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human-grade dog food delivered right to your door, and also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. You guys will remember once upon a time I once slipped up with sockeye salmon.
Of Wild Alaska
sockeye semen.
Yeah.
So maybe because of that, anytime someone goes to the store and they buy salmon, sockeye salmon, they send me photos nonstop.
Yes.
But I'd like to thank everybody for sending me the article in USA Today this morning. I also would like to be clear, this has also appeared in the Wall Street Journal.
Okay.
That it's the secret to youthful glowing skin. And it's apparently found in salmon testicles. This is Kim Kardashian as promoting her newest episode on Hulu. Again, I'd like to repeat that this was in the USA Today in the Wall Street Journal.
I got salmon sperm facial with salmon sperm injected into my face.
I mean, listen.
Oh, I mean, there's so many things.
Don't go nuts. I just
what
Jennifer Aniston has. Jennifer Aniston has also done this.
Yeah,
this is apparently an A-list celebrity thing. Well, are we trying a little too hard here?
When you run out of men, you got to go to the fish.
Of Wild Alaska sockeye semen.
Like, you know what?
Time out. Why would you play Al Hughes before that?
Well, it's in the dry. I can never clean that up.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, that's,
I actually never noticed that.
Oh, no, it's in there. I've noticed it. Yeah.
Where are those Getty images, Eddie?
Say again?
Where are those Getty images?
I mean,
I told CBS. No, that we're going to do a story. So I said, hey, get your Getty images of Kardashian.
That is just...
Oiled buns and cavernous crack.
I mean, that is... This is like... I don't feel good about this one, you know? I'm thinking like...
It's just strange,
we've just hit like a point in humanity where... Like, if our forefathers knew that we were spreading salmon sperm on our faces to look younger, they would probably go, this is
not
what
we
were thinking.
They're not even spreading it on their faces. They're injecting it into their forehead.
Even better.
I got salmon sperm facial with salmon sperm injected into my face.
What?
Man jam facial with the left hand.
Such a jackass. I mean,
I'm with you though. Like, if you went in a time machine and brought people back to see what we're like now,
yeah,
General Patton.
I'm not going into that field. I got a wheat allergy.
Just weird, man.
So, now I see this right. You doing what now, Ev? So you're telling me they get what, like a syringe or something, and they put salmon sperm in there? And they inject it into a face. I mean,
that's right.
You freaking kidding me?
Yeah, you're not kidding.
What, tilapia sperm doesn't work well? Huh?
Stupid. Really stupid. The Indiana Fever and Caitlin Clark, a lead story in a lot of places because of her 19 assists last night, a WNBA record. How about that? Though they lost the game. 101-93 to the Dallas Wings. Here was Clark on being 11-15. Should be better.
For me, it's kind of frustrating. Like, I feel like we've left two games out there that are very winnable for us going into the break, whether the Mystics at home and then obviously this one. And then we've won other matchups that are really tough for us. The Lynx on the road, Mercury on the road, Mercury at home, Liberty at home.
You get the point that the 11-15 record is not as good as it should be. She also had 24 points in this defeat. And we also found out that she and Sabrina Ionescu are not going to compete in the three-point contest during All-Star Weekend. Coming up, then, you got the All-Star break. So there will be no WNBA for a few weeks as they take the break. The MLB is dark. You got tomorrow. The Mets will resume their series resume their season with a series in Miami. The Yankees will be home for the Rays. I also went and got the exchange between Grant Horvat and Phil. This is when their challenge began and their round began. So I went back to Grant's channel. This is 30 seconds of, you know, Phil can't play golf without having something on the line. So here you go.
We got to play for something.
Yeah.
What would you like if you were to win? I want you to wear joggers in the open. Primo joggers.
Wow.
I'm not sure I could pull that off, but...
No, I think you could.
You have a very nice build. I said it once, you're aging very nicely.
Were joggers meant for 54-year-olds?
No, but I feel like you're going to be the first to pull it off.
Pull it off?
Maybe right. They were, though. Maybe they were. I don't want to actually say that.
All right, and Primo makes the best joggers?
They make the best joggers.
Okay, so if I lose, I wear Primo joggers in the open.
The open.
That's not a practice round. He's going to wear them. He will wear them.
I'm going to tell you, he's going to slide out of that thing.
You might be very right. He'll be wrong then.
I think that he's going to wear them, and this is part of kind of reimaging yourself. You know, that's kind of like what him and Bryson DeChambeau have been doing
here. So, all right. He put them on, and he took a picture, and he put it out on his own Instagram. You're telling me that he's going to put them back on now? The big reveal would have been playing with them in the first round. He did it. He's done. In his mind, he's done. No way.
He's got to wear them in the entire Open. That's what I hear.
What I'm telling you is just from listening to that, if he doesn't have them on for one round this weekend, he has not fulfilled
That means
the loss of the bet.
That means the...
That's what I think.
There are some other bets I heard that he didn't pay and almost... cost him a few opportunities to play in a major or two.
I was just talking about joggers, but okay.
No, I'm talking about a financial commitment that he made on a golf course and didn't pay. And the golf event told him that if he didn't pay his bets, that he would not be allowed to tee off. That's what I heard.
Really?
Yes.
And did he?
Yes, he did.
Wow. I mean, that sounds like a bombshell situation right there.
I think it's in the past. I mean, and it's, I think it's widely well known.
Well, how much of a gambler he is, we know that, but yes. to basically say, I mean, but why would the event get involved? They have nothing to do with him and his personal bets.
Because the round of golf in which he lost the money was at where the event is being played.
Okay. Interesting.
I'm going to check to see whether or not it's myth, fact, or fiction.
Hey, you asshole. Is that too hard to figure out?
That's actually live from Bradley Beach. He is that pissed off.
No,
right
he's
now.
Not. Air conditioning is being replaced as we speak.
Oh, thank God.
Yes.
He's still got a dog with diarrhea.
Yeah, that is true. He's still
sitting there listening to the radio station all day long.
Well, that might be true, too. Those
are two things he hates.
Yeah.
His dog and this radio station.
He does enjoy punishment, right?
He's a masochist in that way.
Very odd. First round of the Open, Justin Thomas in the clubhouse with a 68. Sam Hutsby is at 3 under as he is through 7 holes, and then you got a bunch of guys at 2 under par.
And it looks beautiful there as everybody looks like they're freezing their asses off. Wind and rain.
It doesn't look... What's crazy about this, having watched this all these years, is how it can change from minute to minute and hole to hole. It can be brutal, and then an hour later, it's gorgeous out. But right now, not great.
Have you played over there?
No.
Any desire?
Yeah. Yeah. Just have... We actually watched yesterday the Busta Jacks playing in Scotland.
You're that deep into Busta Jacks.
Well, my son is, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
And I watch it a lot with him. But yeah, no, I've always wanted to go over there. Just that's a big trip.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, that's if you love the game, it's one of the things you got to do.
I do. I've not done it yet.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough Studio.
Get your facial with Sam and Sperm.
It's the morning show with Boomer and Geo.
Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So you saw the story we talked about, Caitlin Clark breaking the assist record in a single game in WNBA history last night, and also how the WNBA's got a new huge TV rights deal, broadcast deal. And I guess you have to say more broadcast deal than TV, because it's got all sorts of different streaming platforms as well, and it's basically because of the popularity of Caitlin Clark. And yes, there are other players that are very popular. And I know when you bring up Caitlin Clark, all these other players that have been
great all-stars get all pissed off about it, and you get Angel Reese gets angry and whatever else. But she is the most popular, and this TV, this broadcast rights deal would have never happened if Caitlin Clark wasn't as popular as she was. So, you know, I wonder now that the other players in the league see this deal and know that's going to help them and their salaries. They finally lay off of her and stop with this nonsense that's going on about trying to make sure that she's not as popular as she is because it annoys people.
Well, I mean, she went through her rookie period where it was all hazing and people were coming down on her and making it tough on her. And of course, the Chicago Sky were beating up on her. And Angel Reese has been the villain in all of this stuff. And she takes the villain role seriously and she'll be the villain. So she says, I mean, look, she plays the game differently than everybody else in that league. She is an incredible player. She's got a great ability to handle the basketball, shoot the basketball, pass the basketball, and rebound the basketball. She is everything. And you remember, you know, what is she about, 6'3", I think? Is she that big? I don't know if she's 6'3", or 6'2", whatever. But she is an amazing full-on basketball player, can do everything on the basketball court.
6 foot even is what
6 foot saying. Even, okay. But she plays bigger, and it's just, if you watch over the year that they've been playing, or however many games they've played now, about 20 games?
Yeah, maybe.
And you see this like grouping of highlights that as her season has gone on, like I've said, the first like 7 or 8 games, her teammates couldn't handle her passes because they weren't even thinking that they were going to be receiving the pass when she was throwing it. It was kind of like when Mark Messier first came here with the Rangers. Guys were out on the ice and he's throwing pucks to places where Gretzky knew where they were going. But, you know, Adam Graves finally, you know, he knew where they were going. But everybody else had to kind of catch up to what he was thinking as a player. And so when you see a special player like that going into a new spot with new players that she had never played with before, it's going to take time for her to get used to them, but really for them to get used to her and at the level that she is playing at. Her court vision is ridiculous. And, you know, not every player has that. And she has the ability to get to the hoop if she needs to. She can go around anybody that's playing against her. She's got the ability to do a step back three, and she can make these passes that are ridiculous. And I think her teammates are finally catching up to her.
I mean, sort of what the Jets went through in training camp last year with a healthy Aaron Rodgers. Those guys trying to figure out how to keep up. Like, wait a second, we've never played with someone like this.
Nobody's ever put the ball where he is putting the ball, and I got to get used to this.
Right.
And that's why getting Davante Adams would be great for them, because Davante Adams knows exactly where he's putting the ball.
Yeah. I mean, every day that goes by, it feels like more and more people are talking about it. Although that Brandon Ayuk, Davante Adams scenario you threw out there, that's also something that is to keep an eye on. Because, I mean, boy, I know Brandon Ayuk is good, but you get a year or two of prime Davante Adams on that 49ers team. I mean, That's just scary, the weapons they would have. Yeah, Deebo Samuels, Davante Adams, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, and Brock Purdy playing the way he's playing.
Yeah, I also think that, here's the thing. If the Raiders really want Davante Adams, then they got to they have to restructure his deal.
Yeah.
And if I were Davante Adams' agent in there, I would be going, hey, listen, man, you know, we want to stay here. You want us to stay here? Give us a 3-year contract extension and let's work this out so Davante can stay here, get, you know, be solid here. If you don't give us the extension, then we want out of here. But they're not going to do it publicly because Davante doesn't want to look bad. But the reality of it is when you look at his contract and what he is supposed to be paid next year, something is going to have to be done. And if I'm the agent for this type of player, I am right now pushing for a contract redo or some sort of extension to make sure that he has more guaranteed money moving forward. Maybe the best way of doing that would be to be traded, and maybe he signs a new deal that ends up being a 3-year deal where the money is guaranteed over the next 3 years.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, Boomer and Geo on
the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So you saw the story we talked about, Caitlin Clark breaking the assist record in a single game in WNBA history last night, and also how the WNBA has got a new huge TV rights deal, broadcast deal. And I guess you have to say more broadcast deal than TV, because it's got all sorts of different streaming platforms as well. And it's basically because of the popularity of Caitlin Clark. And yes, there are other players that are very popular. And I know when you bring up Caitlin Clark, all these other players that have been great all-stars get all pissed off about it. And you get Angel Reese gets angry and whatever else. But she is the most popular in this TV, this broadcast rights deal would have never happened if Caitlin Clark wasn't as popular as she was. So, you know, I wonder now that the other players in the league see this deal and know that's going to help them and their salaries. They finally lay off of her and stop with this nonsense that's going on about trying to make sure that she's not as popular as she is, because it annoys people.
Well, I mean, she went through her rookie period where it was all hazing and people were coming down on her and making it tough on her. And of course, the Chicago Sky were beating up on her. And Angel Reese has been the villain in all of this stuff. And she takes the villain role seriously, and she'll be the villain, so she says. I mean, look, she plays the game differently than everybody else in that league. She is an incredible player. She's got a great ability to handle the basketball, shoot the basketball, pass the basketball, and rebound the basketball. She is everything. And you remember, you know, what is she, about 6'3", I think? Is she that big? I don't know if she's 6'3", or 6'2", whatever. But she is an amazing full-on basketball player, can do everything on the basketball court.
6 foot even is what.
6 foot even, okay. But she plays bigger, and it's just, if you watch over the year that they've been playing, or however many games they've played now, about 20 games?
Yeah,
maybe. And you see this like grouping of highlights that as her season has gone on, like I've said, the first like 7 or 8 games, her teammates couldn't handle her passes, because they weren't even thinking that they were going to be receiving the pass when she was throwing it. It was kind of like when Mark Messier first came here with the Rangers. Guys were out on the ice, and he's throwing pucks to places where Gretzky knew where they were going. But, you know, Adam Graves finally, you know, he knew where they were going. But everybody else had to kind of catch up to what he was thinking as a player. And so when you see a special player like that going into a new spot with new players that she had never played with before, it's going to take time for her to get used to them, but really for them to get used to her. And at the level that she is playing at, her court vision is ridiculous. And, you know, not every player has that. And she has the ability to get to the hoop if she needs to. She can go around anybody that's playing against her. She's got the ability to do a step back three. And she can make these passes that are ridiculous. And I think her teammates are finally catching up to her.
I mean, sort of what the Jets went through in training camp last year with a healthy Aaron Rodgers. Those guys trying to figure out how to keep up. Like, wait a second, we've never played with someone like this.
Nobody's ever put the ball where he is putting the ball, and I got to get used to this.
Right.
And that's why getting Davante Adams would be great for them, because Davante Adams knows exactly where he's putting the ball.
Yeah. I mean, every day that goes by, it feels like more and more people are talking about it. Although that Brandon Ayuk, Davante Adams scenario you threw out there, that's also something that is to keep an eye on, because, I mean, boy, I know Brandon Ayuk is good, but you get a year or two of prime Davante Adams on that 49ers team. I mean, that's just scary, the weapons they would have. Yeah, Deebo Samuels, Davante Adams, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, and Brock Purdy playing the way he's playing.
Yeah, I also think that here's the thing. If the Raiders really want Davante Adams, then they got to they have to restructure his deal.
Yeah.
And if I were Davante Adams' agent in there, I would be going, hey, listen, man, you know, we want to stay here. You want us to stay here? Give us a 3-year contract extension and let's work this out so Davante can stay here, get, you know, be solid here. If you don't give us the extension, then we want out of here. But they're not going to do it publicly because Davante doesn't want to look bad. But the reality of it is, when you look at his contract and what he is supposed to be paid next year, something is going to have to be done. And I would, if I'm the agent for this type of player, I am right now pushing for a contract redo or some sort of extension to make sure that he has more guaranteed money moving forward. Maybe the best way of doing that would be to be traded, and maybe he signs a new deal that ends up being a 3-year deal where the money is guaranteed over the next 3 years.